I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories. Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. In part two with Hollis Sitchon, we continue our conversation about being creative and the publishing platform that she founded called Express Yourself Publishing. A new multi-authored book called Invisible No More, Stepping into the Spotlight, launches on Friday, April 8th. And it has 17 contributors sharing what it means to them to be invisible no more. It's really amazing. Hollis truly is passionate about guiding people to tap into their inner self, to extract feelings and thoughts, and to express it. The aftermath feels magical, setting people up for more, whether that is through writing, creating art, or just a new lens in which to see themselves and the world around them. The ripple effect is extraordinary. I really enjoyed chatting with Hollis and hope our conversation inspires you to create something soon. Please welcome Hollis Sitchon.
So, Hollis, I'm so glad we're sitting here back together again.
Me too.
Yeah. I know it was super cool, like, to record the first episode with you because I was so giddy and so excited to chat, and we had a great conversation, and, you know, just talking about everyone being creative. Like I told you, I walk around telling everybody, everyone has rhythm. It's your own. I've said that like forever, but now it's like, everyone has creativity. It's your own. It's the same thing, right? And I love it, and it's brilliant. And I actually was talking about it this week with others, and I was like, oh, you got to check out the site, whatever, you know, it's really cool. Yeah, because it's so meaningful to me too, you know, and I know it's meaningful to others that you get to touch upon and impact and share all that you know to be true and help them see that in themselves. But I definitely wanted to do a part two right away, not only because you have a book that's being launched and coming out on the 8th, which is in 3 days from now where we speak today. But I want to talk more about the publishing arm of Express Yourself Publishing, which is the publishing arm of your business, and talk about what that is, what it means for people, how we can share more of it out there, because it looked fascinating to me. Aside from, like, by the way, this really cool art kit, project kit that you have on your website, which I think is really super brilliant. Mm-hmm. I think the publishing part was, you know, we just didn't get to talk about it enough. So,
thank you for having me back. It's just so easy to talk to you, and it's just, you know, when something lights you up, and it just comes easily, and you can just talk about it for hours.
Yes, we can
if people are willing to. But then you'll know when it has to be short and to the point, and how to catch people's attention, which I think is the art to everything, right? It's, how do I grab people's attention, the people that want to hear it, hear the message in a way that's concise and gets to them like, oh, yeah. I mean, you call it pain points or whatever, but just be like, oh, yeah, I need that. I want that. And then be able to provide that service or whatever.
And make it compelling, right? Like, I think one of the things that I know I took away, I mean, I knew this when I was in the middle of my media career, but I certainly, you know, took it away with me. How do we make our message digestible in just small enough of a nugget, but that's compelling to the person? How do we make this personal and so that it's relevant for whatever their need is? And I think that's the art, right, of conveying a message and trying to capture the attention of others is just, how do I make this about you? Even in sales, like, you know, in the beginning, you never make it about you. You're so caught up in like what you're selling that you're like, it's all actually all about yourself, which is the worst sales perspective to come from. However, the beauty of becoming skilled is that you understand it becomes about the person across from you. And so this is very, to me, very much like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. For a while, I just love doing projects with middle and high schoolers where they created signs for advertising. So often, you know, use Coke and Nike and all that as examples and to describe, because it's easy to do that because it's relatable. And what do you see? What's the first thing you see? And are there words? Are there images? Are there, and you know this more than anything, it being your world, but talking about it with the kids, you know, what colors are they using? All of this, what's getting your attention, what's not getting your attention. And then when they create their own, going through that process of thinking in that way, you have 5 seconds or less, however much it is, to get somebody's attention, especially now on Instagram or anything where you're just scrolling, zoo, zoo, zoo. What's going to make them stop? Why should they care? But I guess kind of going back to that, it's everything that we're talking about. But then in what we're doing, it's being truly heart. It's coming from a place of, I'm not screwing you over.
Right.
I'm not trying to get your attention to try and bring you in.
Or worm something out of you or take your money.
It's not about that. It's about truly being heart-centered, which I've heard other people say when you come into the online space and when you're in these spaces, you have to protect yourself because it's a whole different world.
Right.
Because people really, it's kind of cutthroat and it's a whole different world, which I get. And I'm starting to get more and I'm starting to learn more, but I still can't release. And I just am who I am. So
yeah. And you know what? Always stay that way because that vibe is natural and it feels trusting because it's real and there's nothing contrived about it. There's nothing, what's the word I'm looking for? There's nothing seedy about it either. Like, you know, people aren't feeling something that they need to translate, right? It's just all straight up. So always, yeah, I always say show up like as you are, you know, wear the nerdy hat if you want to, wear whatever hat that appeals to you in the moment that feels right and authentic. I just, yeah. Which is, I think this is what this is all about. This is about, I noticed when I looked at the conversations that you're having with others, that it's all about coming to a point in life where you taking off that cloak of disguise and of trying to fit into someone else's world or box. And you're just like, want to fit into your own skin, for God's sake, right? It's like, hey, I just want to let my heart beat naturally and not trying to keep up in any way with someone else. And so therefore, now that I'm going to melt into just who I am, I can breathe differently and I feel differently and people gravitate toward me in a way I never thought that they would because I'm being true to me. And so, yeah, bringing that vibe, that natural good vibe, people want it. People want it.
Thank you for that. Oh my God, you said that so beautifully.
It took a long time to get there. Like in my space, I know other people, it takes a while to get there. But once you just remove all of the yucky crap that you're carrying, whether it's a false presentation or it's this even lying to yourself about who you really are because you're trying to either compete or appear a certain way, all of the lies you either tell yourself or tell the world outside, holy crap, how exhausting. And until you actually make the change, you don't even realize how wiped out you are. And then you're like, holy shit, why did I do that so long? You know?
And it's trying to like keep up with all the lies that you tell. It's a lot of cover up.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's too much. It's too much here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
there's your heart centeredness, right? Cause then it only comes from there.
You just try. But then it's also protecting that, like you need to protect it. Cause as we all know, everybody, it's like, if you're too open all the time, then it's just like, you feel everything. I was just having this conversation with my son yesterday about one of my contributors actually talks about introversion. And I never heard it kind of explained in this way where if you are an introvert, it doesn't mean that you're shy. It means that you're taking everything in, literally everything in, and you need more processing time. So introverts need more processing time for everything that's going on around them.
That's right.
So an extrovert can just be kind of like you know, respond very quickly, but an introvert needs some time to take it and bring it into an understanding, which I was just like, wow, I really love that, because you can be an introvert and also be on stage. Because that's part of her story, where she'd just be like, she'd be the girl in the corner that was kind of reading in the corner. And then she'd get up on stage and be, do her thing, and then go back and pick up a book. And people are like, where'd that come from? Like, what just happened?
That's right. And that's like why introvert and shy are two different things altogether. You can be shy, so you're not, you know, comfortable, you know, speaking, let's say, or being on that stage, but even shy people can have quick processing time. They don't necessarily require a lengthy period. And I completely understand that. I have a bit of that introvertedness. I think a lot of people do, more than we realize. I definitely am a person who needs to process. And it took me a long time to even like recognize that about myself. I just didn't give myself time. But I think that's brilliant. And I love the way that you put that. I think that's really brilliant. Yeah.
I just learned so much. And that's the thing with like talking about the publishing house. Like I didn't know that this was going to present, honestly. And it's just it evolved from my experience of being in a multi-author book and really loved the community, loved everything being taken care of for me. These labels that we see ourselves in, I didn't consider myself a writer. But when this person came to me and said, I'm actually looking for an art teacher that's been in it, that like knows it, that lives it and loves it. And I'd love to hear your story and your perspective based off, there's a book called Awakening, Women Birthing a New Earth.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, oh, wow, this is a great opportunity. So I did it, came out of me in like 3 days. And then there was like a whole, again, everything was taken care of. And then there was a community built in for the summit. We're interviewing each other and all that kind of stuff. So I think it was a year later, I found myself, this person, my mentor was offering like a 3-day thing on, we want to find out more about a publishing house. So anyway, long story short, I ended up taking the dive, and I was thinking, you know what? This feels really right to me, because again, it's another modality, another way to give people a safe space, which is what I've always been about, is like if I'm in the classroom or whoever I'm working with, wherever I'm working with, it's giving people a safe space to feel expressive and expansive and create community in whatever that looks like. So with the publishing house, I publish multi-author and solo books. So you still get the community within, because it's connecting people. So it's all about making things easier for people. So it's like cheesy when you say it, but it's like everybody has a story in them, but people that I really want to, I love working with people who don't necessarily see themselves in a certain way, in whatever that means, whether it's creative, whether it's as a writer, whether it's, so I love connecting with those people to be like, I'm, like I said, creating this safe space for you in order to express. And people are shocked. I can think of like another one of my contributors. She was just like, I had no idea. This thing just flowed out of me. A few of them were like, one of them came on at the latter end before we're just about to close out the book. She wrote it in 2 days.
So you get to bear witness to this massive moment that someone gets to have when they have this self-discovery of what's really inside of them. It's not just about what they chose to pour out, what actually came out. It's the fact that they didn't know anything was going to come out, essentially, and certainly not in a way that clearly moved them or changed them. And you get to bear witness to that. That is so freaking cool.
It's
like the doula of publishing. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
We had one of those.
It's a little bit like that.
She was great. Well, it's interesting, because I was saying to my daughter too, it's because it's a process. Like, I want to help, I want to give, I want to be there. I want to just like, let's pull this out of you. Let's kind of ease back a little bit. Let's it's creating that community is just that, I'm going to keep saying that word. I think it's just such a big thing for people to know that they have it.
And people it's not just a big thing for people to know that they have it. It's actually essential.
It's essential.
It's more than that. It's like, it's actually what you're teaching people is we live in community. We must have community. And your experience here will hopefully make you realize that it isn't just in project time. We were built for community.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And it's like, I was just before we started talking today, I was watching how one of my contributors is interviewing. She set up a bunch of interviews with everybody else. So I was watching the interview between them, and they have a commonality in a few different ways. But the goal is now they're in each other's worlds. So whether it's personal, whether it's their business, whether it's whatever, they can support each other.
Right.
So that's the thing is it's like, and launch week is, and it's always interesting because this is the second multi-author book, but as we get to this point and we call it launch week because it is, it's like building up to talking about it more and when people can purchase the Kindle and all this kind of stuff. All of a sudden people start rivaling together. So it starts to get really real like 2 weeks before, because then we're talking about all these things, because I have guest speakers come into the private space and be like, okay, now you've written a book. Now, what do you do? Or you've been in a book. What do you do? How do we prepare for launch week? How do we do? I'm doing multiple videos on how to's and all this kind of stuff. And people are like, oh my God, it's real. It's real. It's real. I'm like, connect with each other. That's why you're here.
Right.
Like besides just telling your story, connect. So the people that want to will, because not everybody wants to. Some people are like, they're like, Hollis, can I just come in and write my story? And that's just what I want to do. I'm like, of course, it's your choice. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. It's just, it's here if you want it. And it just really makes my heart sing when I'm seeing people taking it to that next level. And it's just beautiful.
I love that. So when you put together these multi-author books that you're working on, this one being the second, do you come up with a theme, or do you come up with something that will bring everyone together with, you know, a single common denominator, if you will? Are you the one creating that, or are you finding different people have either found you or you know them, and then you shape it collaboratively together? Like, how does that all happen on your end?
Yeah, good question. It starts with me. So I have the idea and then I put it into the world. So, you know, I always say we are our own best client. So these things kind of download. And I often kind of will brainstorm with something kind of comes to me, and then I'll either brainstorm it with my family, maybe start, but then I reach out to people in my very small, in a small circle, and just be like, which resonates with you? And at times I've kind of, if I'm kind of not sure, I'll put a poll out or something and be like, which one resonates? But pretty much things come pretty strongly. So my first one was creativity is whatever you want it to be. This one, Invisible No More, stepping into the spotlight. And then what happens is that I put it out into the world and then just start, people get attracted. It resonates with them. It does or it doesn't. And the people that it resonates with, we take it to the next step. There's like an application to fill out. And then we have a pre-chat to see if it feels like a good fit. And then they decide, I offer different levels that people can come in at based off of how many words they'd like to contribute and how much of a community they'd like to have and how much support they'd like to have. So people can kind of choose where they want to come in at. But the whole thing is really about, again, making it easy, because whether you come in at the $444 level for 500 words or the VIP, which is 3,000 words and coaching and a QR code for your business and all of this stuff, whatever it is, it still has the editing, the formatting, the cover design, all of that is taken care of for you. So all you have to do is write.
Right. No, that's for, I noticed that when I looked on that portion of the site and I thought, oh my gosh, there's like all these different levels and packages that are offered. I want to be very clear with our listeners to let them know that while the contributors pay to support the project. It's a complete charity-based project. At the end of this, it is not about, oh, how much of a cut is everyone getting or what are the residuals on? This is not about that. No one's making money. It's 100% charity driven. So this is a place for you to come, express yourself, participate in something that's bigger than you, be a part of a community in a creative way. And yes, that belongs to you. It's not anything different than if you were to go and buy paint supplies to make your art. It is not anything different like going on a trip and paying for your airline ticket and hotel with your camera to take photographs. It's really just the investment you're making in your project work and in your participation. And then it's charitable on the backside, which is so beautiful. So beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up because
I want to flesh that out because I don't want people to just listen and be like, oh, wait a minute, I have to sign up and pay for something. Yeah, actually you do. But it's like, it's for your benefit if that's where your interest lies. So, you know, like anything else.
And it's something that I've learned to, it's a thing to make clear. But it's understanding there's so much work on the back end to go into this.
Of course.
So the beauty is, yes, you're paying. You're paying for a service of all of this being provided to you to, again, with the intention, it's easy. Easy in the sense of you writing and going through the process. I can't speak for what that's going to look like because it can be vulnerable and you could be flushing out a lot of stuff. And as some of my contributors have said, they're like, whoa, like I did not expect that. Or I came in with this one idea and had no idea that it was going to turn into something else. I didn't know. So basically to understand, so 3,000 words is basically 9 to 10 pages. So that's what that looks like. And so some people have come in and been like, oh, I totally thought I was going to write about this. But then when they sat down to do it, they're thinking about, it always starts with, the starting point is the title. So I'll ask, so for me in this one, it's like, what does being invisible mean to you? Like, what is that title, Invisible No More, Stepping Into the Spotlight? How does that resonate with you? Some people told stories from, you know, trauma and you're seen, not heard. Some people told stories of, it wasn't that dramatic. It was about something that did happen when they were younger. That was a good experience, where they just kind of weren't seen at all, but they didn't want to be seen. But then how it translated into something later in their life where they ended up working for this organization and turned into like the head person, like to being on stage literally and the family being made fun, making fun and being like, why do you always have to be so loud? The stories, because that's the beauty of this. Right. In these chapters of 9 to 10 pages, 500 words being like literally a page. It's like you get to hear people's different perspectives because there can be similarities, there can be overlaps potentially, but they're not the same because our experiences are ours with our own emotions and
everything. I love that.
Along with them.
I love it having the, you know, clearly one theme, one title, and everyone just letting you know what that meant for them, what came up for them based on it. I think that's so super cool.
Here you need to hear, like, I'll read just a few of these titles.
Okay.
So you hear.
Sure.
So one of the titles is, I Said Yes to Myself, My Tree, Me, Finding Light, Integration from Stage to Page, The Fearless Journey, Being Invisible Was Not an Option Anymore, Trust Your Own Voice. I love this one. Me, Him, and the Watch. Those are just a few, just to give you.
How many contributors are in the book that's coming out this week?
17.
Oh my gosh, that is like beautiful. It's like 17 short stories. Holy cow.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly.
Love that. And this one will be a Kindle read. Do they go to print ever?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It'll go to print. So what kind of happens on the back end is comes out in Kindle, and then we get a chance to kind of look and see if there's any tweaks that need to be made because we're human. They're not computers checking the spelling and punctuation. And So then after that, I'll reach out to the contributors and be like, did you see any mistakes? Is there anything that you want to fix? And then the person will fix them. My editor will fix them on that end, and then re-upload, and then we upload to paperback. So it's about a week and a half. The paperback will come out after that.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah.
So
I love this. I love this whole process. I really wanted to talk more about it because I didn't know, you know, what was going on for you and how it all worked together. And I think it's so super.
Oh, thank you.
Again, like you said, giving people another option and platform to express themselves and to uncover a part of themselves, you're right, that they may not have understood was inside. And then, you know, again, the coolest part about it is after the project is done and everyone feels sort of a great sense of achievement, you have no idea, like anything else, how that's going to then impact the trajectory of their life moving forward. Like it's all of a sudden things like you and I shared about our own discovery of understanding our creativity. Life just is different after that.
Oh my gosh. So you say
just
that,
is.
So you saying that made me, so I was interviewing one of my contributors yesterday, and because this whole week I'm going to be interviewing my contributors throughout the week. And so 10 years ago, she purchased a domain name called Be True to You. She just resonated with her. She didn't know what she was going to do with it. Well, now her title, her chapter title is Be True to You. And now she's kind of revised. She has the team that, you know, works for her and all this. She's revised her programming where it's called Be True to You.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I'm like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, this is how we start getting these downloads where it's like, I'm not sure how it's going to happen. And listeners, whether you believe in synchronicity or whatever you believe in, you can't disregard the fact that all of a sudden, this is where we're at. So she wasn't thinking about it, and it just kind of came to be. So when she said that yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh.
I love that for 10 years, she paid for a domain name that she didn't use. I think that's brilliant. She just knew that was something. It meant something to her. And yeah.
She's like, it's going to be something. I don't know what it is. And,
right.
And here we go. So it is. It's like you don't know how these things are going to shape. And I'm like thinking, being straight up. So she paid $1,000 to be in this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you changed your whole business model now to create this package that she was so freaking happy about. She's just like, yeah, I just realized Be True to You is like the package that we now offer. And
that's so cool.
So
you don't know.
When you said life trajectory, I mean, this is how these writing 9 to 10, writing 3,000 words, it, and for some people I've had, they're like, it just feels good. They just wrote it. It feels good. And they move on. But I guess thinking about going back to how I felt again, it's just, I honestly, being honest, when I was in it, I was kind of like, this is cool. And I was so caught up in life at the time that I really honestly didn't take time to really recognize.
So this is when you were contributing
it was
for the first time to the yeah. book that you were asked to join in on. Okay.
Yeah. Like it was, I really enjoyed it and it felt good, but I was caught up in life. I was mm-hmm. caught up in my old job. I was caught up in all of these emotions of stuff where I was like, you know what? I didn't realize what a big deal this was. And looking back on it now, I'm like, there were so many connections with really heart-centered people that I made with these people that I realized along the way. And even now, 2 years later, we still have business relationships, connect collaborations, all of this kind of stuff. And I guess me saying all of that is when we get caught up in all of this stuff, we don't take time to acknowledge and really realize the accomplishment. And that's what somebody coming into the space, she was talking to the contributors, just saying, really celebrate you because it's a big deal. Because we might hear about this more often now. It's more of a thing. There are multi-author books, there's publishing, but with all of the people in the world, there is still about 1-2% of people that actually publish, that actually are authors that actually write.
Right.
So it may sound like a lot because it's more of a buzz now, but the people that, I can't tell you how many people there are that say, I want to write a book. Maybe it's been sitting on their laptop or in a journal or something for years, and it will never get done because there's too many reasons for it not to get done.
But not only that, and I agree with you, people for a whole host of reasons might not pull the trigger on putting it out there and finishing or completing their thoughts or what's inside of them. What I love about this model is that it's not, you don't have to write like 200 pages. You can actually just start off and share your thoughts or share what's on your mind or tap into that one, you know, quote unquote chapter, if you will, of something that you had wanted to birth or say or describe. And it can really just be that. It's a perfect way to dip in and say, you know, how does it feel for me to put myself out there and my thoughts and my feelings out there and one of my stories. And then it either will propel you to do more if you choose to, or you'll just feel really satisfied that you are part of something with a wonderful group of people and you are all storytellers together and permanently moving on. This book exists. And so, voila.
I love you know? It. It's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for that. It's exactly right. You choose how you want it to go. It's going back to ease, just making things easy for you to be able to do that.
You know, what's also cool is I like that you're describing your first experience when you were invited to be a collaborator in a multi-author book and that, you know, you were caught up, you had things going on. And so, you know, yeah, you enjoyed the experience, it sounds like. And sure, now hindsight's 2020. We can always do things perfectly, you know, now from to the past. Like it's such a bad story we tell ourselves. But
but
what's so cool is while you may have been less, or you might see yourself now as when you reflect back as like, you know, you were in it, but you were busy. It doesn't matter because look where it left you. It left you actually not only considering more, but you decided to start your own publishing arm so that you could provide it for others. So it did way more than nothing, or a little, I should say. And even if the experience was quieter than, let's say, others might have, it's okay because it was a seed in you and it eventually found its way in your life, even if the excitement or the big blasting emotion wasn't present at that particular time. It still did something for the later. So that's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for pointing that out and the way that you said it.
The experience with all my crazy like twists and turns and
it's beautiful because I love how you said the experience is quieter. I think that's such a nice way to word that because not all of our experiences are like a romantic comedy or something where it's like, you know, everything.
That's right.
Thinking there's these quieter experiences that we don't know that they are going to have such an impact.
That's right. This goes back to processing. I mean, it doesn't have to be about processing, but it can absolutely be about processing. Sometimes we are just busy and we don't have time to wrap our hands and arms and legs around the whole experience. And that's okay. Because we made a commitment, we are happy about that. We show up, we do the work, or we participate. Oh, and it is great. And you're like, oh, that was kind of interesting. That was kind of neat. And it could be later that the reward and that the reverberation of that experience kind of comes up, and you're like, ooh, wait a second. Oh, I did something pretty goddamn cool, you know, or I'm pretty fabulous, or blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is we want to, like, you know, you know, what is it? You hit your own horn or whatever. Again, me going circles and circles to say that, but
no, but it's true. It's like this awareness. It's like, it is the introspection. It is the processing time and the processing. You don't know how long that can take. I mean,
you don't
know how long that processing time can take. And
I know myself, I consider myself a little, you know, No, I make fun of myself because I definitely, I am a, what I say, delayed reaction kind of person. I've always referred to my own growth as a human, as arrested development. Truly and honestly, most people in my life know that. I always say, oh, you mean me and my arrested development? Yeah, it's always come later.
You and I are like sisters, though, because I don't know if I said it on the last podcast, but like even when I was young, my best friend at the time, like we went to see a movie and she's like, did you like it? I'm like, I'm not sure. And then the next day I said, I liked it. She's like, what? I'm like, the movie. She's like, you're so weird. Like I had to think about it though. In meeting this contributor of mine, her name is Jacqueline Shawless. She's brilliant. Like she's TEDx speaker and coach, all this kind of stuff. But yeah, when you learn more about yourself and the awareness starts to sink in, and it's like all of these things that when I had to take my son for testing for different kinds of learning stuff during school, sure. I was like, I have that. I have that. I have that.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we label kids. Let's talk about that for a second. I think sometimes we label kids when really it's just a processing. Again, let's talk rhythm. It's their own.
It's their own.
It's their own. You know, when it really comes down to everyone needs a minute to do what they need to do. We're not all the same. And we shouldn't be. And therefore, trying to standardize learning and timing of that is unfair. I'm just going to say it. It's unfair. And we've done nothing to remedy that in any way. As adults, it's different because we have the grace and the space and the time to do what we need to do and to hang out with people and spend time with those who either appreciate and respect and have patience with us or not. But all of it's the same thing. It's just, how old are you? But of course, when you're 50 something and you're still asking for the extra time, it is quite funny, but I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I like myself. I'm good.
But I would always challenge, like, to say, or just kind of add, that even adults, we still are stuck in that high school mentality often because we can say, well, I don't have those kind of choices because of the job that I'm in or the circumstance that I'm in or whatever it is. We
limit ourselves, you mean.
So much limitation that's still going on because people don't give themselves the time to really go in and see what they really want. And it's not being like everybody has to quit their job. And that's not what I'm saying. It's like, just go inside and find what you really enjoy. What do you enjoy doing? Whether it's drinking a special drink in the morning to cliff jumping.
As long as it's not vodka, you may.
That's not good.
But I agree with you on that. And I also, I'll take it one step further. I think that while certainly people feel a need to be cautious in their work environments, because as advanced as we've become in acknowledging mental health and acknowledging equity and equality, not every company is on board. I think they use language and bold it into their mission statements or anywhere on their sites to be found to act like they're participating in something. So it still can be a very sensitive area. But, you know, I challenge people to ask for what they need and not feel shame around what they need if staying in their current role is more mandatory for them than not. I think that will be tempered accordingly, of course, but there's nothing wrong with asking for what you need and seeing how that goes.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
There's always a middle ground I feel like we could try to negotiate into, even with so-called hard and fast rules and structure. There's got to be room for flexibility. And then, of course, you know, if there isn't, well, I say start looking now for where there is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It creates so much restriction.
Yeah. And that's why this, your entire plan and project format is so critical to have. It's so important because everyone needs that outlet to express themselves. And this can be a tremendous outlet for so many people. You know, there are other ways. Of course there are, but this is another one. And I think it's just we always have to find it within ourselves. We have to find the space. And if you can't control or change things in one corner of your life, you can definitely start to do it in others. And then, you know, you and I know, once you do it over here, all of a sudden where you couldn't do it, that starts to loosen up, you know, like a plastic bag with a knot, it all starts to loosen up. And before you know it, it's going circular. It's going circular in your life. So I love that.
Such great analogies you have.
You know, I don't know if I said this the last time, but I'll tell you. Since I've gotten into this kind of rhythm with myself, right, over the years, I get images in my head now. When I'm thinking about, when I'm having a conversation like this, I get images in my head, and it could be anything. Now I'm not going to express it correctly, but it's always about whatever I'm expressing. I get an image in my head about it. And so then that just takes me into the language. I don't really, can't describe it. It's a very weird thing. Sometimes I think I should paint it, but they evaporate. Boom. Like right away, they evaporate. It's not just colors. Like sometimes I'll be like, we could be talking about something going on in life. And then before I know it, I'm like, I'm visualizing you maybe in a situation, but it could be like you're on a river and all of a sudden, blah, 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 blah. Or it could be like you're out. There's a placement that all of a sudden happens in describing whatever topic of conversation I'm having with somebody. It's so weird.
It isn't weird. It's a gift.
I mean, I love it, but it's hard to explain.
It's a gift. This is something a little different, but synesthesia. Do you know what that is?
Talk to me more about it, because I feel like someone's already brought this up to me.
Yeah. Synesthesia is when you see color. One way is when letters can be colors. So when people are talking, your brain can kind of process and see like A as fluorescent green or whatever it is.
But is it always letters?
No, it can be letters, numbers. One of the people I spoke to on my podcast, she's a musician, and she would see notes and hear notes, and color and things would be attached to it. So when taught in a traditional way, her brain would process it by seeing colors and hearing the sound, but it wasn't, the teacher was kind of, it took a bunch of teachers to be like, what is going on? What are you hearing and what are you seeing?
Right.
And once she finally, because she kept failing tests and all of this stuff when she knew everything. So when this teacher took the time to ask her, she was like, you have synesthesia. And she's like, what is that? And she didn't find out till she was in her 20s. But then what's interesting is I have two friends who they see the letters as colors. And one, her husband, so she's been with him for like 30 some years. And he never knew that she had this because she just thought it was something that everybody has. So
isn't it funny when you go through stuff, you actually think everybody's like you? Yeah.
It's like with what you visualize and what you see, it's like, doesn't everybody see that? But she told her husband and he's like, what are you talking about? And I was just talking to my other friend recently and I said, well, what color is A? Because I looked up synesthesia where they said they've done studies on the brain with people to see that often there's a commonality. And she said, well, it's usually blue, but it depends on what colors are around it because it affects what's around it affects what the color is.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God, like to me, it sounds like so much work, but that's how our brain processes.
It just happens. I don't have that.
It just happens.
I don't see letter. I just have landscapes or I have situations and I just get a visual on it. That's in my mind, expressive of whatever I'm discussing with someone or talking about. I do feel like it is something that I want to do something with, though. I'm not done with it. Now that it's happening a lot for me, I want to figure out how to paint. I want to paint the image or paint the scene. Okay. Yeah. So it's just, I didn't get to it yet.
Okay.
I've got some supplies. I just didn't get to it yet.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll make it happen.
Yeah, but I think it's cool. I think it's really cool to come deeper into yourself and into your creative side, because this is what happens. This is exactly what happens.
And to realize the skills that you have, because just like we said, we think everybody else has it when they don't. So if you're a person that visualizes and sees this, maybe it's about doing photography. Maybe it's about writing it out because you don't feel like a visual medium is that. Maybe it's speaking it and like telling stories verbally. Maybe it's, you know, it can just translate in so many ways.
Right.
But you can either get it out or just be happy that it's there and have it be your own little secret that nobody has to know.
Sometimes that's actually better because it could be a little twisted and I'm just like, what is up with you? Like, what the hell is that? Yeah, that's me.
Well, whole package.
So this week, Invisible No More, Stepping Into the Spotlight. Bravo. I can't wait to get my hands on this. This is going to be brilliant. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do a giveaway on the book once it's printed. I want to do a giveaway. And so I'm going to organize that. Yes, of course, if you made it to this part of the podcast and listen to all of our gibberish and crazy fun, then you're hearing me say it out loud. And I'm going to put more out there as a means on my social to get a printed book in the hands of a listener. So just remember. Yeah, I think that we just need to spread the word more and give people more ideas and more ways in which they too can find their own inner voice and creativity. So important.
I appreciate that. So appreciate that. And the next book, in case that I'm starting to gather for, is called Creativity is Being You.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
So that is the second one. And there's in the Creativity is series. Okay. Because the Excellent. First one is creativity is whatever you want it to be. And this one is creativity is being you.
And you're right now seeking collaborators for that one, that book. And what's the timing on that? When will that be? When will you have gathered everyone by-ish?
Well, it's going to launch. I'm looking for it to launch the end of September.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I would say that by July.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
Good. We're going to spread the word. We'll make sure we include all the good stuff in the show notes and online.
Thank you. And there is another one, but I'm not talking about that one.
Well, you have to come back.
There's another one because this is how our brain goes. I'm like, this and this one, the next one, I'm just going to say it's a little bit different because it's not a multi-author. There's multi-contributors, but it's a coffee table book.
Okay. Beautiful.
So I'm going to say at this point.
That's perfect, actually. Sometimes that's exactly all you need is the visual. I love it. All right. I'm glad you were here today, Alice.
I'm glad I was here today. Thank you so much for having me back.
It's so good to talk to you.
You make me laugh.
Yes, it's all good fun. That's it on Dreams and Detours. Always fun.
always. Yay. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yay. Bye. That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.